follow Jesus. And part one, Transformers transform. How many people besides myself loved watching Transformers? See, I had a brother and a male cousin before my sister, so I like watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman and Transformers. I love all boy cartoons. So Transformers transform. All right, let's pray. Praise God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. You're so good to us. You're just so good to us. And I thank you for you being you. You have the freedom to express yourself in our lives and in this body. Have your way. Whatever your message is for us, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. So here's some scriptures, and I want you to go back and study them. So write them down. First of all, the Great Commission. You guys know what Jesus actually told us to do? Like, he didn't tell us to go build buildings and create programs. He actually told us to make disciples. And that doesn't mean, thank you, Miss Michelle. You're amazing. This is my friend, Miss Michelle. She does more in this church than anybody knows. And just got the last two pages of my notes. Thank you so much. We were told in the Great Commission to go into all the world. And actually go to other countries, but that actually means go to the PTA, go to your place of business, go to the grocery store, wherever you go at the gas station. And it says to make disciples. Now, hear me out on this one. He doesn't say throw tracts at people and leave them under the toilet paper roll or under the tip. He actually says to make disciples, which means to tell them about Jesus. Let Jesus be shown in your life. Pray with them to receive Jesus. And get this, do not leave the baby on the side of the road. That's an abandoned baby. You got to adopt that baby, right? You birthed the baby. Don't leave it on the side of the road. So you invite that baby over for dinner. You invite them. You don't just invite them to church. You go pick them up. I remember Joe and Erica would have pancakes before church and just invite anybody over and eat tons of pancakes. So it's really about doing life with people. But by the way, we do need to tell people about Jesus and we do need to pray with them. But don't forget, don't leave the baby on the side of the road and expect it's going to thrive. Because I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Because I work in youth ministry and I've seen a lot of people just walk away from their faith because no one is doing life with them and showing the reality of Jesus Christ in their life. So this is what we are all called to do. Every single one of us as disciples. We may not feel the most qualified, but guess what? Good. Because then God's going to be glorified because we are so in process, right? I am in the process every day. I'm becoming more like Jesus. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is the Great Commission. And then we're going to camp out in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 through 18, I'm not going to read it all, on how to be transformed into a disciple. And then the next part is in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. And that is how disciples become disciplers. And I would like to say this, before I even start this message, I just heard the Lord say, I am so proud of this church. Like, he loves you guys so much. I want to say this, when I preach this, it's because we're doing it and we're just going to do more. So I want you to hear that. When I was praying, I was like, Lord, I want them to know as I preach this, I see you guys doing this. And I am so proud of you. And I'm so happy to do life with you guys. So as we preach this, be encouraged. We're just going to do more. Amen. All right. So a little teary eyed today. Praise God. All right. So how many of you guys watched the Super Bowl last Sunday and gorged yourselves in nachos, buffalo chicken dip? Oh my gosh, where was it my whole life? Like, I recently discovered this stuff. So smear it on my face, lick it off. Like, I don't even know. It's so good. It's like weird. Like, in female trends these days, they just mash up food that tastes good and they stick it on their face like it's a mask. I was like, whatever. Buffalo chicken dip. That'll work for me. I don't need an avocado. All right. And wings. Definitely, like, hit all of those at the Super Bowl party. So it's interesting watching on the big screen. How many people watch it on a big screen these days? And what would you do? I mean, if you had an opportunity to actually be at the Super Bowl, see all the lights, the fans screaming, eat like the corn dogs, and it just, would that be so much better to be actually at the Super Bowl? No. Because we like it comfy in our couch. It's warm. Right? And so here's the next step. Ready? How many of you would just love to actually be on the field? Why? And it's so fascinating when we think about this. It sounds good on paper, but then we think about the work, the pain, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sacrifice, the commitment, how we can mess up our uniform. We kind of like our controlled, comfy worlds from our small little living room with our circle of friends if you invited them. Sometimes we just watch it alone. Interesting when you think about it. We like being fans. I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. I'm a big fan. It's so funny, Buddhists are big fans too. Actually, Muslims really respect him. Did you know there are even atheists that say, I don't really believe Jesus was a son of God, but I there's enough written about him that he actually probably lived. He's a good guy. I'm a fan. But then there's this other thing called a follower, where you go where he goes and do what he does, get messy. Jesus got messy. He hung out with messy people, got himself in some messy situations, right? Go where he goes, say what he says, do what he do. Followers. And this is, we're doing a chiropractic adjustment. They kind of pop something in place right now because we're doing it, but I'm going to say, let's do more. Because my challenge today is, are we slipping back into being fans? Or do we need a little bit of a chiropractic adjustment to remember what true followers of Jesus Christ are? Those are actual disciples. And everybody here, raise your hand. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just getting a kind of a neck pop back in. Just, okay, we're going to push out there, all right? So when we're really following him, we're doing what he's doing. We're saying what he's saying. We're interacting with people the way he interacted with people. He gravitated towards like lost, hurting people that made life interesting. Peter made life interesting. Jesus was always cleaning up after Peter, but man, he loved Peter so much. And it's also allowing the power of God's word to change us. Do you know we don't have to change us? Did you know you don't have to strive to look a certain way, talk a certain way, be a certain way? You just got to let Jesus into your grill, into your space, and allow him to transform us into his image. Otherwise, if we just try to look good on the outside and we try to look like a good Christian follower, I come to church every Sunday. I even tithe. Okay, congratulations. This is great. We work how it looks on the outside, but it's the inside. And you know, it says this in 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, they will act religious, but reject the power that can make them godly. I'm going to act like I got it on the outside, but I might reject the grace empowerment of God to change me. I don't have to do it. I just got to let him in to transform me into someone that looks more like Jesus, hangs out with the people that Jesus hung out with, that the lives around us start transforming. It's not about striving to be perfect or look a certain way or talk a certain way, because that's just dead religion and I don't have time for it anyway. I declare war against religion. That's like, people are like, what's the vision of the youth program? I was like, oh my gosh. You know, people make these complicated vision statements. I'm like, I'm not that cool. I was like, listen, I declare war on religion and we reach lost people. And there are lost Christians and there are lost people that don't know Jesus. So that's the vision. Real, real simple. So I'm not going to teach religion here. All right, we don't have to change us, right? Did you know intimacy with Jesus just naturally changes us? Just hanging out with, when I have a relationship, it's like real talk. I'm looking at Rachel. When Rachel and I talk, we have real talk. We don't have time for like small talk, shallow talk. Like I talk with Rachel and I was like, listen, we don't get a lot of time together. Here's real talk, right? That it was just real talk with Jesus. And we change. So 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. The Berean Bible, I like their translation. It says, your minds may be led astray from the simple and pure devotion to Christ. It's about just spending time with him. Just spend time with him. Just be with him. And then, ready for this? Give him the all access pass to all your things you don't want to talk about. You know, like the junk drawer. You ever, like one day I was like looking for matches or whatever and you know, like where are matches? I don't smoke. So I'm like, I don't know. You know, I just like, you know, burned something in my kitchen and it smells like burnt meat. So I'm going to like light a candle, you know? So I was like looking and I was like, oh, I can't find it. And I opened up the junk drawer, you know? And I was like, oh, the junk drawer that has all that stuff in it, you know? Like your house looks perfect. Like my, by the way, if you see my office, it's embarrassing, but my house is actually pristine. Everything's away. I just like things in its place, but I got the junk drawer. How many of us also have the attic? We don't let anybody in the attic. Or how about this? The closet. you know, the closet that we bury, all just weird stuff, gifts that you like really want to re-gift, but, you know, they're going to ask about it. You know, just stick stuff up in there. So it is about giving Jesus full access, not only come into my house, into my orderly living room, or the sitting, they don't have these anymore, but do you remember when they had a sitting room? The parlor, but nobody was allowed to sit in it. And you always had to take your shoes off. And I'm like, I am not living in your living room. This is ridiculous. We like to show people like, this is me on Sunday morning. This is like, you know, my best me. And Jesus is like, just let me into your junk drawer and I will clean it out. I would love to invite somebody into my house that says, I will not judge you for your junk drawer and your attic and your like awkward closet with all your weird past in it. I'm just going to clean it out for you. And this is the all access pass of allowing Jesus to transform us. Throw open the door to our heart motives as well. You know, so it's so funny. I'm like an expert in reading past excuses. It's so funny in ministry. Would you be able to? Could you help someone? Could you disciple so-and-so? Could you just invite them over for dinner? I don't know. You know, we have like our four people that always meet together at our grow group. And like, if I put more people in that, like the mojo might get like, you know, messed up. Really? Okay. We got to sometimes throw open the door and look at our motives of our heart, right? And you know what examines the motives of our heart? Pastor's not going to do it. It's just the word of God. Because it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive. Everybody say alive. And active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. One translation, my favorite, says it exposes the motives of our heart. Do you know why a lot of us only like reading certain parts of the Bible and not others? Do you know what religion does? Religion reads the Bible for other people. I got a word for you. I'm going to read this one because you got an issue in this area and I'm going to like pray for you. But we don't like dealing with the one that talks about gossip. Oh, did you know it's listed right next to all those hot sexual sins? And it's like, and gossip and division. All of it breaks God's heart. But we like skipping over that. Okay, all right. It exposes the motives of our heart. But the thing is do not fear what the light of his word reveals, because it will always heal it. The light of his word will heal it. You know, Jesus is almost like, his word is like allowing, when you allow that word to say, God, what are you talking to me? What do you want to change in me? It's like laying on the living sacrifice table and letting the expert surgeon cut out cancer. And stitch you up and heal you up without any scars. And that's what the word of God does. So Jesus was the word made flesh. So if you're in the word, you're hanging out with Jesus. And he will clean up your life. And it says this, be transformed. Romans 12:2. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our lives transform when we spend time with him and he is his word. And we say, I'm going to throw open the junk drawer and the embarrassing closet and my past and how much that one Christian hurt me. And that's why I don't sit on that side of the congregation anymore. And I stopped going to their grow group because I felt judged. God's going to be like, yo, forgive them. Can we move on? We got better things to do. And that's what reading the Bible does. Also, grow groups will do that because when you have real friends, they're going to call you out. Like, I have some friends here and you guys know, and I'll be like, hey, if you see things in my life, will you just like call me out? Because I'm not trying to like tank this church by being an idiot, by not letting people in my life saying, you're being an idiot. So, you know, I actually ask people in this, help me, polish me. You know, Mike and Manny are my cousins, but they're also my friends. And like Steven, like I hang out with my family as friends. They have seen my worst self. And they are so nice about, well, they say that is not cute. You know, you got to work on that. Like Mandy's so good at that too. And I need them in my life for that reason, right? You need people in your real life. All right, where are we going here? Okay. So what are true followers of Jesus like, and how do we chiropractically adjust and get back to that? Cause all of us can adjust, right? All right. So true disciples, real discipleship. What is that? It is the process of the local church. Did you know TV church is not going to disciple you? They don't know you. Can I be honest with you? I went to a mega church because God called me to one. So I'm not knocking it. But you got to work real hard to make sure they know you. Or you're not going to get discipled. I'm just being honest. I was called to one. When I started going there, I didn't want to go there. But literally God told me to. I was like, fine. Whatever. And no one knew me until I actually was obedient. I became a greeter. And I went to like their, you know, like prayer time or whatever. And then I became a youth leader. And all of a sudden I was known. And people could get in my life. And I finally became discipled and I actually really started growing. But the great thing about a smaller church is they will miss you. They will know when you are not here. And it's so funny. Some people sit on the back row and they are the first ones to leave because they're like, I don't want anybody in my business. It's okay. But, you know, hey, the development process of the local church is to seek to bring Christians from spiritual infancy, like the babies. Did you know some people are like babies for 30 years? Do you know what babies are? It's all about me. Wah, wah, wah. Super emotional. It's all about me. Feed me, 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 me. It's a baby. That's okay. We love babies. Babies are beautiful. But they're cuter when they start growing up. No. We need them to grow up. Basically, if the baby is 30 years old living in your basement and going, wah, 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 it's all about me, wah, 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 that's not cute. All right, so it grows us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity and is the process and the purpose of the local church. We gather together to worship together. It's the vision to grow together and to go and make other disciples. Amen. It is the replication process. When I am becoming a disciple, I'm going to do life with other people and we are going to become disciples together. Okay. And God's goal is for us to not only be disciples. Everybody raise your hand. I'm a disciple because I'm following Jesus. Imperfectly sometimes, but we back on the saddle every day, right? Mercies are renewed every day. His purpose for you is to be a disciple following after him. Look, smell, talk like Jesus. And then also make other disciples. Now, everybody raise your hand. I'm a disciple. I'm following Jesus. I'm figuring out on the way. And ready? We need to be attached to other people so they can become disciples with us. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. We'll figure it out together. I'm an idiot sometimes, but we'll figure it out together. Paul was figuring it out. Like, he didn't even get to like meet Jesus. He's figuring it out and say, hey, come figure it out with me. We'll figure it out together. Way more fun. All right, God's goal for creating the local church is so disciples are made and then they reproduce. And it doesn't matter how fancy your building are. It doesn't matter how cool your stage is, how awesome the lighting is, how perfect the acoustics are. It doesn't matter how many amazing programs. We have a group for everybody. We have a knitting club. We have a shooting guns club, which I think we should have. It would be cool. If you want to start these, more on the shooting guns club. Be awesome. These are great. But do you know you can go to like a church and they got a program for everybody because they have endless resources. And do you know you can still not make disciples because disciples look like Jesus. And oh, they make other disciples too. So let's say we, because me too. When we stop making disciples, we have neglected the whole purpose. We are not doing what God has called us to do. Have we stopped being Christians? That's a thought, a follower of Jesus. I don't know. Okay, that's kind of funny theology. I'm just going to say this. We're back on the saddle, right? Everybody kind of pop the neck. Oh, let's get connected with people. Pop. Okay, we're back on. All right. The Great Commission says to go into the whole world and do life with people so they can get to know Jesus, so they become more like him. The whole world, wherever you go. How do I want to say this? I was like, that is interesting. Churches can be full of great programs. We have great programs here. They're awesome. We have youth programs, kids programs. We have grow groups. We have outdoor maintenance programs and things like that. But if it stops making disciples, it's actually not fulfilling its purpose, right? We can get so busy doing stuff, so obsessed with our pet program, that we stop making disciples. We're just busy being busy and looking good. And it makes us feel good about ourselves. Something to think about. Discipling people always has to be a priority over programs. People will come to us saying, I want to start this program. And I'm going to go back to you and go, how does it fulfill the vision of the church? Pretty broad vision. Worship. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the Lord. Tell him how incredible he is. Put him first in your life. Growing in the word. And then going and making disciples. If that program can do that or be a part of that, I say yes. But if it just keeps us busy and keeps us hanging out with us for no more, something we got to think about. It's actually going to take us away from being disciples, which are Christians. Thinking about that one. All right. Everybody here should be a disciple. Every person here, I spend time with Jesus. Jesus is going to make me more like him and connected with other people so they too can become disciples. So when we just come to church once a week, once a month, YCF sometimes once a quarter. And we get a good word. And we go back to doing our thing. We sit, we soak, but it doesn't go out of us into anyone else. So it becomes stagnant. It becomes soured. And this is where I see, because I actually hang out with people from other churches. Did you know I go to other churches? The reason why I don't do a program on Wednesday is because I love going to my friends' churches and worshiping. I went to one on Friday. It was awesome. But if you don't, you can soak and soak and soak, but unless you're connected with someone else where it can just overflow, as I'm learning, I'm going to talk about it, what I'm learning, it becomes stagnant. And I start hearing the church hoppers anthem as, I'm just not getting fed. I've heard it all before. I was like, hey, do you listen to preachers? I listen to a preacher every day. I just love it. I crave to grow and to learn and get different perspectives. And I chew before I swallow because not everybody has it 100% right, but I'm learning, right? Well, people are like, I don't like reading the Bible. I'm just not a reader. Well, they have apps that reads it out loud to you. And I do that too. Why I put my makeup on, because I like wake up like this, okay? All right. If we don't let it flow through us, we will sour, we will stagnate. And this is where frustrated Christians come from. This is also where weird Christians come from. Say, I am not weird. That might be a faith statement for some of you, but generally speaking, I'm so proud of this church. We are not weird, okay? But that's how we get weird. That's how we get frustrated. That's how we get selfish. You know, we have a consumer society. It's just the way society is. We look for a church and we go, what can this church do for me? What programs do you have for me? Because it's all about me because... Okay, moving on. All right. Something to think about. The only proof of being a disciple is that we are changing. I'll be honest with you. Do you know I constantly am an idiot sometimes? Like, ask my family. I say dumb stuff and have to apologize a lot. You know, God gave you this gift of this mouth. It is also my greatest weakness. And for that reason, I need God to constantly help me with my mouth. Truth. Okay? I got to let God change me, right? Discipleship is a process. And if we are not changing, if we are not growing, chiropractically adjusting, if we're kind of been in the same old mindset, hanging out with the same old people, doing the same old thing for the last 20 years, are we being discipled? Are we disciples? It is a process of changing. So when a kid goes from infancy to maturity, there are changes in their life, right? They start feeding themselves. The only time they get in the Bible is not just on Sunday or on their, you know, drive to work. They get in the Bible, right? They clothe themselves. They start making improved decision-making, hopefully. Because we are having these changes take place, there is a developmental process, and this is the process called discipleship. We are changing. So the goal of discipleship, ready for this, is spiritual transformation. How many people like, I do not like reality TV. It just does not make me believe in humanity sometimes. I'm like, wow. And I love people, so I can't handle a lot of reality TV. But Extreme Home Makeover, do you guys remember that show? Where they would take this broke down house, and a lot of it was like really amazing, sweet people that they just didn't have the time, finances, or resources or know-how to repair their house. And it lets a team of people in, a team, so everybody say team, and invites their community, friends, and family to what? Help them rebuild, fix, and restore their home and transform it into something so beautiful that not only do they thrive, but actually it's so cool. I've seen them do this for like foster families and things like that, but they're able to even help more people because it's so cool how they pick these amazing people that they just need a little help. And how many people like being a part of the transformation process and helping someone? Yeah. Now, when we are being transformed ourselves, it's a little painful and awkward, right? Because I'm sure like they're opening up the skeleton closet in the junk drawer. And why did you hang on to 25 different bags of twisty ties? You know, I don't know. But, you know, when you finally get there to transformation, it's beautiful and we all celebrate. So God wants to extreme home makeover our lives every day, every day, every person here. And this is spiritual transformation. So let's see here. Okay, first of all, let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're moving forward. Oh my goodness, praise God. We are moving forward. Look at the time. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So Paul is teaching us about one key to the transformation process. And in the beginning, verses 1-3, we're not going to read it, but he just celebrates the Christians in Corinth. By the way, if you read the book of Corinthians, they were idiots sometimes. You did what? In church? With who? Are you serious? But they were in the process of discipleship. And he was like, you know what? We're back on the saddle. We are getting it. We are changing along the way. It's not about being perfect. Go back and read Corinthians. You're like, really? But he was celebrating them because they were being disciples. They were following Jesus. They were letting him into their life through the power of the word and fellowship. And there was changing and transformation going on. So, okay, when disciples are being disciples, they are discipling and there is change. And we are transforming. So you don't need to be perfect to be a disciple or to disciple other people. You get that right? Because once again, Jesus went way out of his way to pick extra messy people that nobody else would pick. Like he picked brawling, loudmouth sailors and just corrupt people and people with goofy past. And he's like, literally like, hey, just follow me. And you know what they did? Is they would go get their friends and be like, yo, I'm following this guy. He's kind of awesome. We'll figure it out together. Follow me. Right? Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We'll change along the way. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. Just invite people to do life with you as we figure it out together and let God clean out our junk drawer. All right, so Paul uses this analogy, and I'm going to blow past this fast for the sake of time because I want to get where we need to go. He uses the Old Testament analogy of life transformation process in 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 15. All right, so probably need to go back and study this, but we need to cover this because we need to know how to be transformed, right? Before we can do life with other people and all transform together. We got to deal with us first. So it says, 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 15. It says, but the people's minds were hardened. Hardened means kind of blocked off, closed off. So, you know, sometimes we can go to church with a closed mind in certain areas. Like we'll hear for areas we want to hear about for someone else, but we don't want to deal with us sometimes. It says, to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they can't understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ Jesus. And there is, I literally have this probably an 8-page teaching on grace and glory and how Jesus tore the veil. And I don't have time, so I'll put it, it's online. I'll put a link on there. But I had to cut out like 3 pages. So I want you to know this. So think about this. Here's the mirror of the word of God. And when people read it, we often read it with a veil. You know, back then they wore veils, you know, like the bride, the veil. You can kind of see, but like she might be ugly and it's like too late, you know. Back then, you didn't get to see it. You're just like, sign here. I'll give you 2 cows. I'll take your girl. You know, there was a veil, and you just prayed for the best. Read about the story of Jacob. It was rough, okay? So they read with a veil where you can kind of see through it, but you can't see all of it over their minds. But Jesus tears the veil. So verse 13 says this, but we, everybody say we, are not like Moses, who put the veil over his face, this little filter. You know, so that the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. All right. So what's the backstory that I don't have tons of time for? So in the Old Testament, Moses would ready go up to the mountain. Remember I taught about going up to the mountaintop? It's Exodus like 19 and 20. He'd go up to the mountain and he would just say, God, here I am. What do you want to talk about? Fully exposed. And his face would glow with the glory of God. Glory is God's weighted presence. When you hang out with Jesus, your face, your countenance, your attitude changes. Let me tell you, when I go about 3 days without really spending time with him, not just like on my drive, you know, listening to my app, I get edgy. Ask any, Nevin. Nevin sees me at my worst. Nevin's my friend. And literally like normally like 15 minutes later, I was like, I'm so sorry. We get edgy. We get irritable. We get frustrated. We say stupid things. Okay. But when we spend time, like if you would meet me as soon as I'm done spending time in the word, you know, before some crazy situation just blew stuff all over my life. I mean, I'm just like, God is so good. I love him. I love you. It's like love drunk on Jesus. So, you know, it's learning how to stay in constant fellowship with him so we don't do stupid stuff and have to apologize all the time. I apologize. How would I say this? I'm so much better than 2013. People know me in 2013. I'm growing. Praise God. I'm changing. All right. So the more time he spent with God, his countenance, his attitude would change. And you know, it's interesting. The people around him were like, kind of like, whoa. Do you know sometimes people won't like you simply because you have joy, because you have peace? And they'll just kind of, I don't want to hang out with you, because what is it? It kind of exposes that they need Jesus. All right. And that's why he kind of put this veil over. But in context of this analogy, let me put it this way. I'm going to blow through my notes. Grace is God's divine influence on our heart, freely reflected in our life. I need 8 pages to teach this. I'll put a link online. Grace in its, how is it? Glory in its infancy is grace. And it says in verse 10, we are in a new covenant of grace, of overwhelming glory. Grace upon grace. Grace actually changes us into Jesus. It is the power of God, the grace DNA, to actually change us into his image. And all we got to do is freely receive it, all access pass, and then, ready for this, step out in faith to do it. Verses 17 through 18, it says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. And he sets us free. And it says this in verse 18, it says, so all of us, everybody say, so all of us who have had that veil removed, we removed this. We all, when we let Jesus into our lives, we get that veil removed and we can see and reflect, beholding as in a mirror, it says, the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is a spirit makes us more and more like him as we are being transformed into his glorious image. The transformation that God wants to make in your life applies to every single person here. Did you know nobody in this room is beyond transformation into someone that looks like Jesus? You are not the exception. Your problems in your past are not too messy. Your sin is not too great, because he just takes everybody. It's like a ready or not, we're all going in. We're all going into the transformation process. So don't you think you got to hide stuff in your closet. He's got you. And nobody at this church is going to judge you, right? Because we're not those people, right? Because we're dealing with our own junk. Here's my junk drawer. So he can transform us and will transform us in that process, every single person. So the Greek word transform also comes from this word that we get metamorphosis. And everybody in elementary school remembers metamorphosis is when the caterpillar goes into the little cocoon, the chrysalis, and changes from the inside out into a butterfly. Same word, transform. So it says in scripture, if we go back and read it, it says we are being transformed. It doesn't say I am transforming me. Something else is transforming us. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is actually transforming us. So we don't have to strive. I don't have to change me. I don't have to be perfect and make myself perfect to do life with someone else so we can become disciples. Because in the process of letting God in every area of my life, I am changing. Amen. And it says, what are we changing into? It says, into the same image. An image means a resemblance, a likeness, a replication of. God's goal in transformation is to make us look, talk, act more like Jesus. He wants to clone Christ Jesus in you. He wants to take his grace DNA, the empowerment to be Jesus on this earth, stick it in you, and it turns you into this mutant that starts, I love mutant shows. Once again, I like all those like boy cartoons. Mutants are awesome. The grace DNA starts mutating and changing us into someone that looks, talks, and acts more like Jesus when we let him into all the areas of our life. This is spiritual transformation. This is discipleship. So how do I get transformed so then I can help transform others? Verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed with unveiled faces can see and reflect, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The Lord who is a spirit makes us more and more like him as we are being transformed into his glorious image. We all need the mirror of the word of God. What does a mirror do? It shows you what you're really looking like. So, you know, it's fascinating. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, but they only compare themselves among each other, using themselves as the standard of measure. And they just show how foolish they are. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we find people that are just dealing with our same problems, got the same issues, got the same dirty mouth, whatever. And we only hang out with them because we kind of, how do I say this, lower the standard a little bit. Instead of the standard being Jesus, which I will forever be being constantly changed into more like him. It is a process for the rest of my life, okay? But we hang out with people we're comfortable with because we compare ourselves to them, and I feel good about myself. I have some people, and I'm going to be really careful how I say this. I disciple young adults and the kids, and I have ones that just hang out with people. I was like, why do you hang out with them? Seriously, like all the time, because they feel really good, because they got it together more than anybody else in that group. They're like, I quit smoking weed. This is great. They're still smoking weed, so I'm going to be a light. And I'm like, that's good. Please be a light, but I also need you to connect regularly, once a week, twice a week, with other believers as iron sharpens iron, so we can go higher and greater. So let me tell you a funny story. So in college, okay, I went to this college, and like one of the hottest guys on campus, I won't say his name. he was on my brother wing. So I went to a Christian college. He was like on the brother fraternity or whatever. And I was sitting at the lunch table, and I am so funny right now. Like I am just cracking jokes, and I'm like, compared to everybody else at the table, his attention is on me, and I am working it, and I'm feeling real good. And I am also eating an Oreo milkshake while I'm cracking every joke. And finally at the end, he's like, hey, Sherry, you got like Oreos all up in your gums. I was like, awesome. Also, I have big gums. Like I have a lot of gums and a lot of teeth. So it's like all up in there. And so really, if I could just look in the mirror or a friend that I hang out with would be like, yo, you looking stupid right now. Okay. But I was comparing myself to other people around me. My perception was off. We need the word of God to say, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, because I'm just like hanging out and work's going good. Everybody's having fun, but I'm not hanging out in the word. So my low bar standard is kind of working. But what we don't realize is our attitude is like a big piece of spinach up in your front teeth. Nobody wants to go to church with you. But I don't smoke weed. Well, congratulations. But, you know, your attitude stinks. All right. These things. We got a boogie hanging out of our nose. We got a rat's nest in our hair. Truth. You'd roll out of bed and be like, I made it to class. Congratulations. You look like you just made it to class. Okay. So we got to look in the mirror of the word. Let's see. Verse 15 says, yes, even today when they read Moses' writing, which is talking about the Torah, the Old Testament, five books that he wrote, their hearts are covered with this veil that they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When we keep a veil over our face, we're putting God in this box that we don't let him into every area of our life. We are covering up certain areas of my attitude. I may not do really terrible things, but my attitude stinks and nobody wants to go to church with me, let alone come over for dinner. Okay? But you're gossiping. I'm just going to be careful with that one. We all deal with it, right? But we want to talk about all the heavy sins. But once again, you read it in the list. Gossip breaks God's heart just as much as having an affair. Breaks his heart just as much as same-sex sexual relationships. It's all in the long list. So does division. You know, when you talk against someone, you're causing division in their life, causing division in their grow group, and whatever it may be, our mouths, which I am continually working on. But we got to let him in that. Amen? Don't cover it up. Let him change you. All right, let me see here. Where do we got to go? Praise God. So when we read the word, be like David. Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says this. Search me, O God. Know my heart, test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, here I am. I can't change me. I'm a mess. I'm going to throw open the closet of all my motives and all my mess ups and that stupid thing that I did this week. I'm going to let you transform me. I'm going to just let you clean my house. Beholding in a mirror. Did you know it actually says, okay, so in James chapter 1, 22 through 26, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You are only fooling and deceiving yourself. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out, like a man who glances at his face. It says a man, and actually if you look at the original word, it actually used a male term. Like a man glances at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, God's word, and you actually do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Men, glance at the mirror. Okay, we good. Women. All right, we camp out. We hang out in front of the mirror. We hang out with other people in front of the mirror. We do not go to the bathroom alone to look into the mirror. And after we're done, like, primping and pecking, what do you think? How's my hair? Whatever. That is how women stare into the mirror. And that is how God wants you to stare at the word. And if your only time is a real quick, listen, I tell my students, just start, you know, if you want to start with a Bible app scripture of the day, good. Praise God. Spiritual infancy. Start there. But if that's all you're doing is listening to Joyce Meyer's podcast on the drive to work, we are staying here. We are glancing. And when you only glance, oh, that sounds good. In fact, I'll actually pick the scripture that makes me look good and not deal with the other junk in my life. Like, I am not generous and I don't want to give and blah, 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 blah. And I don't believe in this. Meh, 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 meh. And you just stay out of all those ones because I don't want to talk about it. We will not change. And the transformation discipleship process stops. So meditate means chew on the word of God. I tell my students all the time, I don't care if you read one scripture 20 times until it becomes alive. What do? You read the word of God until you see yourself there, not other people in your life. I see myself there. I need to deal with the log in my eye and see a spiritual point of action. This is how I will apply this to my life. And say, God, I don't even know if I can do it, but your grace says I can. I can't break free from this addiction. I can't break free from this bad habit, but your grace says I can. And I just repent and say, God, I'm sorry. My mouth, my gossip, whatever this may be, you know, my unforgiveness, my bitterness, my disappointment, I give it to you. Give me the, I receive your grace right now by faith to change me. Amen. Final thought, disciplers, ready? Disciples are transformed transformers. T-shirt. So if you want to look up transformer lore, they have websites, and I did a little backup studying. And I'll say this, okay, so my nephew Cash is obsessed with transformers. That's all he wants to talk about. So, you know, what are transformers? They are these robots that change into other things. All right, so Optimus Prime, okay, is this alien Autobot, okay? And he is kind of the hero, the leader of the Transformers. And he transforms into this tough, persevering semi-truck. And he actually is the embodiment, if you do research on it, of justice and of good. And he's even resurrected to save the day, so some Christ-like parallels. All right, so the website says this, Transformers, the definition of to transform, is the process by which the alien robot transforms and changes form, the way in which the parts of an individual transformer move and shift, ready, in relation to each other during transformation. They change into vehicles and join together to form one giant weapon. It's so cool. Like this team of like eight transformers go, and they form this giant robot. That like with this giant weapon and it packs a giant punch. So it says this on the website, they unify and combine into a single giant, powerful robot body. And it says this, that combine thing is the strongest combined strength for battle with a giant punch, the most powerful because it's got a huge weapon and they are less vulnerable to damage. When we as transformers transform by unifying and combining with other people. And that's why we do church. I ain't going to do that sitting at home on my TV. We join together. We are stronger together. So the most powerful as we as disciples will be is when we're joined together in the process of being transformed, other people around us will be transformed as well. But we have to be connected. So it says this in Acts chapter 2 and 4. What happened? This is the birthplace of the church. Should I just stop? You know what? Praise God. I got more. And I guess you're just going to have to come back because you know what? That's my teaser. What we're going to talk about is the unification, how transformers transform. And I will say this, and I'll teach it in depth next time. It might be 2 weeks from now. Come back to church. I'll put the Grace and Glory one on the website so you can get a really thick teaching on that. Stay for communion fellowship meal. Because that is where transformers connect and combine and are being transformed. And if we don't do life with other people, you will block God from flowing through you, and we are transformed in the flow. Us Four No More groups are not discipleship groups. If you don't have a messy person that makes life complicated, did you look at Jesus's disciples? If you are not overflowing, and I'll be real with you, if you are not doing life with someone else, that is not being a disciple. So come out from the caves, create space, get less selfish with your time. Transformers transform. Part one. All right, praise God. Pastor, do you have some instructions for? Oh, praying is good. Let's do that. I was trying to honor time. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. You are so good to us. And God, I thank you for wisdom. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We receive your word right now in faith. And we will not receive it for someone else. We receive it for us right now. And I thank you that you are, it is your goodness, it is your kindness that brings us to repentance. So right now we repent for limiting your access in certain areas of our life. We repent for not doing life with more people. And God, I just thank you right now that you are just bringing names, faces, thoughts of people that we are to invite out to dinner because we're having lunch here. People are supposed to sit beside today. People are supposed to pray for today. And Lord God, we thank you. We are a living sacrifice. We just lay on the altar, say, have your way in us, Lord God, and transform every area of our life. And I thank you. You are showing us people to invite into our world. So as we follow you, we are transformed and so are they. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.